The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Oh yeah, it's that big day. We love it. I'm hungry already. Good morning, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Adam, Jamie, and Heath. Jamie, give me 10 things you're thankful or you're thankful for.
10 things.
10 things.
Thankful for the three of you and Ben, so that's four.
Four.
Thankful for my family, that's five. Thankful for my job, that's six. I'm thankful for the NFL playing, that's seven. Thankful for the election being over, however you voted. Thankfully, it's done.
That's nice.
I don't talk about that anymore. At least that's the hope. I'm thankful for good friends, good family. I don't know.
Okay, that's 10. That's Dave.
Excellent.
Heath, give me 20.
Yeah, I can't leave out Dave. Thank you for Dave.
You said the three of you, and then you said Ben. I thought you just already meant Dave. So it seems like you cheated earlier with your counting. Happy Thanksgiving, Heath.
Happy Thanksgiving, Adam. I'm thankful that I get to do a show so regularly with the best podcast host in the world.
Will Brinson, your pick six cameo.
I don't think Will Brinson has any podcast hosting awards.
Somehow, some way, I managed to scoop up one of those. I'm thankful for the listeners.
Well deserved.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I'm thankful for the listeners, for the people I work with, and for football, and for the food that we have already cooked last night and will continue to cook today. And I cannot wait. We are basically creating a Thanksgiving feast for like 10 people, and there will be three of us eating today. So it's going to be a week of Thanksgiving food. Thankful for leftovers.
Wait a minute. You're not feeding one of your children?
Yeah. Well, she, you know, the baby doesn't eat food. So
there'll be three of us eating today. We're a family of four.
Well, yeah, no, it's the truth. It's the truth. She's 6 months old. She doesn't eat food. Yeah, we just got her first jar this week, actually. So I think we got some sweet potatoes there. Thanksgiving themed baby food. All right, let's talk about players we're thankful for this week. Jamie, who do we love?
Tom Brady, let's go, old man. Start of the week this week. I think it's going to be a good bounce back game for him, as hopefully it's a shootout between the Chiefs and the Bucks. You've seen the last two quarterbacks take on this Chiefs defense have 27 or more fantasy points. Brady during the day, he's a much different guy as opposed to Brady at night. So I think it's going to be a fun game, and I think Tom Brady bounces back as a top eight quarterback this week.
Okay, Heath, I didn't understand you had a funny line about Tom Brady going to bed at 9:30.
I don't know that I can repeat it, but I just that I am also about Tom Brady's age, and I also go to bed at 9:30, and so I understand.
Who do you love this week, Heath?
I'll go with another quarterback, Derek Carr, in the dream matchup against the Atlanta Falcons. They made Taysom Hill look really good last week. They're going to make Derek Carr look awesome.
Okay. Would you start Derek Carr or Taysom Hill?
Derek Carr.
Would you guys start Derek Carr or Tom Brady?
I have them back to back. And I told a Raiders fan this morning, I didn't realize when I answered the question on Twitter that it was a Raiders fan until I looked up and saw the avatar that asked me that exact question. But I made the switch after I had Brady as the start of the week. Originally, I had Carr ranking one spot higher. But my only fear with Carr is the Falcons offense doesn't show up if Julio Jones is there. And this is the Josh Jacobs show.
Yeah. Julio did practice. He was limited in practice. So that is a good sign. We'll give you all the injury updates. Kenny Galladay is not going to play today. And we have our fingers crossed for DeAndre Swift for that early game. Hopefully he can get cleared and play. Who are we avoiding this week? Jamie.
Who are we avoiding? I'll save it for the rankings. Debate, I guess. Melvin Gordon, I know it was great last week, but I don't think it's going to be a good game for him this week. That Saints run defense is legit, and you know he had been struggling prior to facing the Dolphins, so I think it's going to be a tough game for Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay. The fact that he didn't catch a ball last week was amazing and still, you know, was able to help your fantasy team. But he has not played well prior to facing the Dolphins in week 11.
Mm-hmm. And the Saints are number one against running backs now. And Heath, how about you? Avoid list?
The Rams running backs, all of them, just because we don't like... I don't think we got any clarity at all last week, obviously. 2 weeks ago, Cam Akers at least led the team in touches or carries. Last week, Daryl Henderson did and was awful against the best run defense in football. And so we really just don't know anything about these Rams running backs, and I don't want to start any of them.
All right.
Don't you feel like one's going to score? It's just...
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. If I could just start all three, and whichever one gets the points is the one that goes in my lineup, I'd be for that.
Team RB. We should think about that. Team RB. Wouldn't that make fantasy football a little easier?
We've talked about that in the past, about having leagues do that. But, I mean, what fun is that?
It would have to be like a 20-team league or something like that, you know, or one of those crazy... I'm in a 30-team league. But yeah, that sucks. And actually, that would be bad in a league like that, because then you're limiting the amount of running backs you can have. So never mind. Scratch that. I am going to be avoiding... well, I'd like to avoid turkey, but I don't have a choice. It's all we're making this year.
I think you're an idiot.
I'm gonna be avoiding Jamie. I would probably avoid any salad. I don't want to fill up on rolls, but I got those Hawaiian dinner rolls, so that's gonna be a challenge.
Those are the best rolls to get.
They're amazing. Here's your stat of the week. I want to talk about replacement running backs, okay? Because there are a lot of them. Your stat of the week is... It's kind of weird.
Not be as many as they were before, though.
What do you mean?
Well, we're getting some reinforcements back, potentially.
We are, but we're losing potentially Gio. But there's still...
He was a replacement.
Yeah, I guess so. He was, you're right. So Samaje Perine, I was just looking up, trying to read about the Saints' run defense, because it is looking like maybe the best in football right now. The last time they allowed one... What's that?
The best besides Tampa Bay.
No, Saints are better.
I think Tampa Bay without Vita Vea versus the Saints, you know, it's very close. With Vita Vea, it was definitely the Bucs. Since then, it's maybe this. They're close. But the last time a running back had 100 rushing yards against the Saints, it has been 3 years. And it was, of course, Samaje Perine for Washington 49 regular season games ago. Thank you to Canal Street Chronicles for that note. So it's 49 straight regular season games without allowing a 100-yard rusher. That's amazing. But Perine is really who I wanted to talk about. So let's talk about... Yeah, what was that? Sorry.
No, I was just going to start talking about Perine.
Okay, yeah. Let's talk about Perine against the Giants, who... Okay, you heard me talk about their defense, whatever. They do give up the 8th most fantasy points to running backs. A lot of it in the passing game. Giovanni Bernard has a concussion. But in general, I mean, a few weeks ago, it was a terrible week for replacement running backs. Last week, it was much better. But you've got Gus. You've got Perine, you've got Mike Davis still with McCaffrey unlikely to play. Don't know what's going on with the Dolphins. You got Frank Gore, 49ers, we don't know. Chargers, we don't know. Todd Gurley missed practice. Then you have Gallman, of course. You've got Duke Johnson. You've got the Detroit situation. So Heath, in general, when you did your running back rankings, was it a lot of like, you know, just start the guys you drafted? This is not a great week for replacement running backs, generally speaking.
Well, I think you would have to be very fortunate to be starting the guys that you drafted, because like half of the starting running backs are hurt. So
right. Yes,
if the guy you drafted is still healthy and starting, then you should probably just start the guys you drafted. But no, there are still a lot of backup running backs in my top 24 this week. We're not ranking Perine as if he's starting yet, or at least I'm not aware if we are. It's always funny because like we're so plugged in, but there are still times, and I know this has happened to you guys this year, where you don't hear the news before you see the flood of emails in your inbox. And yesterday afternoon, I got the Samaje Perine emails with like 6 different people adding. I'm like, what in the world is going on? He falls into that category where he's like the backup to the backup. And now on a Bengals offense that's starting Brandon Allen at quarterback, like this is the type of backup running back I think you can really get in trouble with. I would prefer, like if we find out Gio's ruled out, I don't imagine Perine's going to be in my top 25 running backs. He'll be more in that Melvin Gordon range where I'd prefer to avoid him. But I mean, if you listen, it's nice to find that on the waiver wire if you're in a desperation situation as well.
Yeah, I mean, I have that in one league that we're in together. It's our Fantasy Football Today league, where my second running back has been a joke all season long. And I've been starting the last couple of weeks, J.K. Dobbins or LaMichael Perine. Well, that's out the window. Right. So I have a choice to make within the next couple of hours. I did pick up Samaje Perine. It will be Adrian Peterson if DeAndre Swift is out. That's how bad it is. Or I'll wait it out to see what happens with Perine or Boston Scott or Jamal Williams. Like that's my number two running back situation. I'm sorry, I don't have Jamal Williams. It'll be Boston Scott or I forget who. I think I picked up Justice Hill. Like that's how bad it is. I'm hopeful it's Samaje Perine, you know, for that type of scenario. So Heath is right. It's got to be a desperation situation to want to play him. I have him in another league where I have the entire Bengals offense of non-Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins players, and it's not fun either. So I have Gio and Samaje Perine. It's a 2014 league, so it's a little different. But I have Gio, who I've been playing, and so I picked up Samaje Perine, who I'll have to play if Gio's out. Like those are the scenarios I'm playing Samaje Perine.
I think we need some breaking news from CBS Sports, Jason Lockenfora.
What do we got? The
Ravens have multiple new positive test results today. NFL continues to closely monitor the situation to determine if the game is still played Sunday. No changes to status yet.
It's also, it's not clear. There's some other reports on this as well, if it's players or staff. So right. could if it's staff, they'll still play the game Sunday. If it's players, they have to reevaluate it.
Yeah, right now they don't really have a starting center. Their two centers are on the reserve COVID list, and the game has been bumped to Sunday, as I'm sure you all know. Sunday at 1:15 on NBC. It's a wacky
This year. Like confirms for me that, especially in full PPR, I'm starting Duke and J.D. McKissic over Gus Edwards.
Okay, what about Adrian Peterson and Kerryon Johnson? Obviously, Swift would be an easy call, but how about the Lions? Or do you say I'm going to pick up Perine, I'm going to pick up Frank Gore and give myself an option?
I think with those guys, I'd probably pick up Perine or Frank Gore and try to wait it out. I mean, it's still the most likely situation is they're going to play this game Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. They don't really have anything else to do with it. But I do think if they have positive tests on Friday and then a positive test on Saturday, they're not going to have much choice.
Okay, man, frustrating situation. And hopefully they can get that game in, and hopefully everyone's feeling good and safe and healthy. All right, so here's what we're going to do to finish off this segment. I'm going to give you a replacement running back, and you tell me how confident you are in starting him. So you're kind of, you know, not that confident.
Kind of like the start-o-meter.
Yeah.
It's also, you know, Adam, it's not just, and I don't know if you're going to these guys, but it's also what he said in regard to Gus Edwards. You also have to probably make those decisions with guys like Kalen Ballage and potentially Savon Ahmed.
Yes, they are on this list. So if the game goes, your confidence level in starting Gus Edwards?
7?
Yeah. 10 in non-PPR, 6 to 7 in PPR.
Justice Hill?
1.
Yeah.
Mike Davis at Minnesota?
10.
Aren't you tired of him not really doing that well, though? I mean, you got saved. You saved your bacon with the touchdown last week.
I mean, I think there probably would have been a few more receptions, A, if it was Teddy, and B, if the game was closer. So I'm anticipating Teddy playing, because he is, and a closer game.
And 10 PPR points without a touchdown is not a bad day.
It's not. Okay, so then there's like, I don't know what to do with the Dolphins situation. We probably should skip that for now. Savon Ahmed missed practice with a shoulder injury. Miles Gaskin is trying to get back this week, has a chance. And then the 49ers, Mostert, Coleman, and Wilson could all play this week. So you said sit the Rams running backs. Are we going to sit the Niners running backs, or do you think if Mostert plays, we'd start him? What do you think?
I think if Mostert plays, you got to be in a really good situation to bench him, because you know you've seen what he is when he's on the field. And obviously it's not the same 49ers team that he left when he got hurt, but you know, the fact that it's as close to full strength as hopefully they'll be, I haven't seen the status of Trent Williams, but hopefully he's going to play. And you know, they're coming off a bye. They typically have good game plans for almost everybody. It's a great run defense that they're facing, but I still think that he can cobble his way to a good enough game that he's a number two running back for most teams.
Okay, and then we've got the Chargers with Kalen Ballage limited, Austin Eckler practicing. Let's say Eckler is out. I know if Eckler plays, you're going to start him, but this is a great matchup for both all the running backs in this game, the Chargers and the Bills, struggling against the run. But yeah, like your confidence level in Ballage if Eckler's out.
If there's no Eckler, I'm starting Kalen Ballage. Top 20 guy, not quite as confident in him as I am Mike Davis, but more confident in him than I am, I think, anybody else we've talked about.
He's better in PPR than non-PPR, but he's a good start in both formats.
Chris Carson is expected to play, so you're probably not going to have Carlos Hyde in your lineup this week. Todd Gurley missed practice. We'll keep an eye on that. Would Brian Hill be the backup to get?
He'd be the lead guy, but I'm going to guess they use multiple guys just because why not?
Yeah, be a him and Ito situation probably.
All right, Frank Gore against Miami. You look at the last five games. Gore and Pirine combined for 18 or more carries in all five games. Your confidence level in Frank Gore against Miami?
3.
He's not awful. I mean, he's not great, but he's not awful. He's had two games now with 10 or more PPR points, so to hit Heath's number. And one of those was the Dolphins, the first time he played them.
And how about Wayne Gallman at Cincinnati?
He's a 8 in non-PPR and a 7 in PPR.
I am a little less confident, but a borderline start, 5 or 6.
All right, Detroit running backs other than Swift.
Take what I said about Frank Gore and apply it to Kerryon and Adrian Peterson. It's like, you know, you can't feel any comfort starting those guys, but they're not terrible given the matchups.
It is a fantastic matchup. I'd probably start Kerryon as a borderline number 2 and Peterson as a flex.
Frank Gore or Lions running back?
I'd go Kerryon.
I would go Kerryon in PPR and probably Gore in non-PPR.
There's just like, there is something mentally, I think, in my head about I feel a lot better starting Kerryon Johnson than I do Frank Gore. Kerryon Johnson can run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. The only thing that I kind of like about Frank Gore, and I'm queasy saying this, is his coach is Adam Gase, who loves him.
Yeah. Oh, we love Adam Gase. It's great for fans. Yeah. No, I totally get it. Totally. It's just a funny thing to say out loud. And then Duke Johnson, where do we end up on him? And by the way, of course, DeAndre Swift plays. He's a must start. But Duke Johnson, where do we end up on him?
It's unfortunate that he's not ranked higher or anyone has any faith in Duke Johnson because the matchup is exceptional. But he is not. You know, that's the problem is, you know, he's failed in these two games with this opportunity to take advantage of it. And so I think, like he said, if you have a decision to make between him and Gus Edwards, and it's funny that you say in PPR because he's not catching the ball, which is just so dumb to go with him over Gus, which I get, but it's like maddening. You know, I mean, I don't know if it's just Deshaun Watson's calling his own number whenever he gets the opportunity.
He's got 4-0 and 3 catches in his 3 starts. Or 3 games. Now, one wasn't a start. David Johnson left almost immediately. So, I don't know. I think you're going to expect 3 catches.
Can you?
I think so. You can expect him to catch more passes than Gus Edwards.
I would hope so, anyway.
Maybe only 2 more.
Maybe 1 more.
Yeah, right. Maybe not enough to really make a difference.
In the 2 starts, how many catches does he have? 3?
3 games. 2 of them were starts.
Take the one where he got, not the one where he started. Not the one where he replaced.
Why? He David played Johnson. Basically the entire game.
The 2 starts.
0 and 3.
So in their last 3 games for the Ravens, Edwards has 3 catches too. It's maddening. It's maddening that they don't throw the ball to Duke Johnson.
Okay, and that's it. That's it for that segment. Those are your replacement running backs. We're going to go through the news and notes quickly here. The saddest news, very, very sad, Dallas strength and conditioning coach Marcus Paul passed away. So sorry to hear it. Condolences there. Terrible situation. Baltimore and Pittsburgh moved to Sunday, as we know, but Heath just gave you the update on more cases, more positive tests. David Montgomery has cleared the concussion protocol. He's going to play. Any concerns about DeAndre Hopkins or A.J. Brown playing this week?
None as of now.
Julio Jones was limited. That's good news. Adam Thielen is on the reserve COVID list right now. There was a report that maybe he had a positive and then a negative test, so we'll monitor Adam Thielen. Do you have to go with Marvin Jones over Adam Thielen today? If you have to make that call?
You should.
Yeah.
Okay. Sammy Watkins practiced in full. Julian Edelman was cleared to practice. Not sure we're going to get him this week. He's off IR, maybe next week for Edelman. I don't think you want to start the Jaguars wide receivers anyway, but DJ Chark and Chris Conley both mispracticed. Laviska Shenault, though, was limited. Galladay and Amendola are out today. Last time I'm going to ask you, any interest in Marvin Hall?
Deep league, but you know, not much.
If you were considering Justice Hill, I'd rather flex Marvin Hall than Justice Hill.
Okay. John Brown missed practice, so Cole Beasley could be an option for you.
Adam, we should probably just, you know, continue the Gus Edwards scenario of if you have Steelers wide receivers or Ravens wide receivers. I don't know anybody's playing Marquise Brown over Marvin Jones, but you know, you should play Marvin Jones over the Ravens guys, and probably if you have to make a decision between CeeDee Lamb and the Steelers guys, you should play him as well. Obviously, Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks are in a different category. Same thing with Terry McLaurin and Amari Cooper. But, you know, the Steelers guys, if you're waiting out this game in Thielen as well, you should play Jones or Lamb as the questionable options in this game. And I would say the same, you know, lesser scale, the Marvin Halls, the Cam Sims, the Steven Sims of the world too.
Zach Ertz has a good chance to play this week. He is 73% rostered. You could still pick up Ertz in some leagues. Logan Thomas today, Dalton Schultz today, or Zach Ertz on Monday?
Again, you got to play those guys, and that includes Jordan Akins too. You know, so factor him in also if you picked him up.
Okay. Hayden Hurst missed practice. Tua Tagovailoa missed practice with a thumb injury. Mike Glennon's going to...
I wonder if that's some gamesmanship on the Dolphins' part.
Yeah, maybe.
Gardner Minshew injury?
I think it's probably legit for Tua, but, you know, hey, let's just get Fitzpatrick one more game out there.
How much higher would you rank Fitzpatrick than Tua? Because you guys have Tua somewhere around like 24th, not high. But if Fitzpatrick were starting against the Jets, would he crack like the top 15 or so?
Oh, number one.
Well, he averaged like in weeks 2 through 6, I think he averaged like 26.5 fantasy points in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues.
He's awesome.
He'd be around 15.
Okay. Going to finish up here. Mike Lennon starting for Jacksonville. Brandon Allen for Cincinnati.
What a dumb decision that is.
Sam Darnold likely to start this week for the Jets. And some like the Colts are pretty beat up on the offense. Actually, it's not beat up. It's DeForest Buckner and DeMeco Autry are on the reserve COVID list. We'll see if they can clear it by the time they play Tennessee this weekend. Dallas' secondary is depleted. Detroit's secondary is depleted. Marshawn Lattimore practiced in fulls. He should play this week. And Rams linebacker Micah Kizer unlikely to play this week. Whew. Okay, 60-second rankings disputes. Holy cow, Michael Thomas. After a very good game last week and getting basically half of the targets in that game for the Saints, he's top 15 for Dave and Jamie, but more like top 30 for Heath. So, Heath, are you really saying that we should think about sitting Michael Thomas? Go.
I'm expressing my uncertainty about the result we saw from the Saints passing game last week because it was the Falcons. You're starting Michael Thomas, I'm sure. But I don't think, like, you don't project anybody for more than a third of the targets. And so I do think it's pretty likely that Taysom Hill's pass attempts are going to stay below 30. So you should expect somewhere in the 8 to 9 target range for Michael Thomas. And if he doesn't score a touchdown, then with his lack of downfield plays, that could make him a questionable start if Taysom Hill's bad against the Broncos.
Jamie, your rebuttal.
I was listening to the broadcast last week for the Saints game, and they asked Taysom Hill, is there anybody you have like a strong rapport from the non-obvious guys? And he goes, nope, I'm just throwing the 13. I'm sure he was joking in that regard, but it makes a lot of sense. And you see what the results were, 12 targets, 9 catches, 104 yards. And so I'm sure Thomas is finally healthy over all of his little ailments, and that seemed to be the case in that game against the Falcons. I know, Heath, you said it's probably safe to assume under 30 pass attempts for Taysom Hill, but they gave him 33 pass attempts in his first start. I would imagine there's probably something similar to that.
23.
Did he? No, yeah, 23.
23? 23 last week. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, 18, 23. He was better than I give him credit for. I thought he was.
He was. He actually, I went back and I watched most of his throws. He was definitely better than I thought he had played.
He was light years better than I thought he was. I give him full credit. Yeah. It was, you know, Sean Payton saw what he saw and he went with this guy. And Thomas had a very un-Thomas-like drop where he was wide open and the ball went right through his hands.
Yeah. And all right, so let's wrap it up. So you got him top 15.
Thomas, I mean, anybody's getting 12 targets and his name is Michael Thomas, I'm starting.
All right, you've got 30 seconds, Jamie. Michael Pittman, 65% rostered right now. You've got him as a borderline number 2-3 wide receiver. So not great, but Heath has him out of the top 48 right now. But Michael Pittman, Jamie, make a case for him at least as a low-end starter.
Yeah, he's in number three receiver. He had 15 targets prior to facing Jaire Alexander last week, and he's been productive in, you know, his last three games. The Titans stink, so I'll go back to Michael Pittman in a game where I think that they're going to still lean on Phillip Rivers a little bit as well. I think Pittman's closer to seven targets than he is to three.
What's the deal, Heath? Michael Pittman outside your top 48?
It's mostly just the three targets last week and the lack of a proven track record over the course. There were two really good games in terms of targets, and that's not quite enough to adjust the projections. But more than that, it's that there's no buys this week. And so I've got like 25 wide receivers projected between 11 and 13 fantasy points, and he's in that group. He's 51 in the projections. There's not much difference between him and somebody at 39.
I think the most interesting fantasy game that we're going to talk about today is Arizona, New England, and Kenyon Drake is in the rankings disputes. Jamie, you have him 25th in non 25th, I think in both actually, non and full PPR. And Heath, you have him, Kenyon Drake, 15th in non PPR, 19th in PPR. So Heath, I'll give you the first word. You're more optimistic about Kenyon Drake.
Yeah. I just, there aren't very many running backs who are getting consistently 15 touches, and I was encouraged by the fact that he got five targets in their most recent game. I think he's the most likely back to score a touchdown, and this Patriots defense, according to DVOA, has gone from being the best in football last year to the worst in football this year.
It's pretty weird. They give up the most yards per play, or the third most yards per play in the NFL. Jamie, Kenyon Drake, start or sit?
I hope what he said is right, that the five targets and four catches is the Kenyon Drake we see again. I wonder how much of that played into Kyler Murray's shoulder injury and him not running as much and getting rid of the ball last week against a very good Seattle game plan, game pass rush that we saw. First time that we've seen that from them in a while. The Patriots run defense has not been as good, but lately, and take into account who they played, the Jets being one of them, but Baltimore being another, and Houston, their last three games, 48 carries, 144 yards, no touchdowns to those backfields, 3.0 yards per carry. So if Drake doesn't score, it's been kind of the case all season long, he's not a great fantasy option if he's not involved in the passing game. So is last week the start of something, or is last week the fluke? And so I think he's still a good start. He's not a great start. I would consider several other options, though, ahead of him. Like in non-PPR, I'm starting Zach Moss over Kenyon Drake.
Ah, interesting. And by the way, you just completely stole stat of the week, stat of the game for Arizona, New England. If it's a yards per carry stat, you pretty much have to give that to me, Jamie. Yeah, 3 yards per carry allowed to running backs last 3 weeks for the Patriots. They were terrible against the run, though, before that. So we'll see. We'll see who shows up. And then Wayne Gallman, 18th for Jamie in non-PPR, 20th in PPR. Heath's got him 27th in non-PPR, 31st in PPR. What are you thinking, man? He's going to crush the Bengals. They got the one of the worst run defenses in football, Heath. Give him some credit.
Yeah, I saw this and I thought I need to move Wayne Gallman up. And so I'll make an adjustment to try to move Wayne Gallman up. I'm a little concerned about the fact that Alfred Morris gets 8 to 10 touches every single game.
He does.
And was actually more efficient as a runner each of their past two games than Gallman was. And the fact that Gallman hasn't caught more than one pass since week 7. So those are the concerns, but he should be higher than, like, he shouldn't be down to 30th. I'll get him close to 25, but I would rather start Kenyon Drake than Wayne Gallman.
See, it's interesting that you say that, though, because you just said about Kenyon Drake, you like a running back that's getting consistently 15 touches, right? So yep. That's what Gallman has each of his last two games, and it's three starts that he's made in those two. Three starts that he's made without Devontae Freeman. So the last two, he's got 15 or more touches. The work in the passing game, obviously Drake last week was great, but is that Drake moving forward? And so I'll take matchup here, where I think the matchup is much better for Wayne Gallman over Kenyon Drake. I think it's probably a good scenario to think he's going to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 14 to 15 carries and one catch, because that's what you pencil him in for, is one catch. That's basically what Kenyon Drake was prior to last week. And so Gallman doing a good job finding the end zone, 5 touchdowns in his last 4 games. And so I think it's a good opportunity for Wayne Gallman in non-PPR. PPR, you want to make the case Drake is better because what we saw last week, I get it. But non-PPR, I don't think it's close. I think Gallman's in a better spot.
And what do those last two games have in common where he had 14 and 18 carries, both wins for the Giants? And they are, I think they're like
six-point
favorites, which is scary. But
I owe you and Jamie Mazowskis an apology. You guys were celebrating the Giants winning the division, and I poo-pooed you. And here they are. Great chance to win the division. Don't think it's going to happen, but kudos to you guys for believing in your team.
Who's your pick?
Cowboys.
Cowboys have the best schedule. It's a big, big game today for the Cowboys. If they win this game, you know, they have a much better. If they lose this game, it's trouble. But
I think whoever wins this game wins the division.
I just don't believe it with Washington. I think they're crap. And they've lost to the Giants twice, so the Giants have that tiebreaker. And the Eagles are still in first place, so we'll give them that. But the Cowboys have the best setup. In that
I'm going to guess that the tragedy that the Cowboys have suffered this week, they may smash Washington. You know, just home game, Thanksgiving, emotions running high. I think they come out and they take it out in Washington on the field.
All right, let's go to the Stardometer, but let's do this a little bit differently. I'm just going to give you the last three games that we're going to preview. Of course, we'll get more in depth later in the show if you're going to hang around for it. But if you're cutting this show short because you're cooking or whatever, Giants, Bengals. Who are you confident in? Confident in this game, Giants, Bengals.
Wayne Gallman.
Yeah, I don't know that I have a player who I'm confident in, but Wayne Gallman would be the guy I'm the most confident in. I take that back. If Gio played in PPR, Gio would be the guy I was most confident in, but they're borderline number two. There's not a must-start player in this game.
I wonder with Gio, and my concern with him is, you know, workload the last two games for him. You know, 13 total touches for him last week. Is P. Ryan and Travion Williams getting more opportunities because they're now going to see what they have in some other guys just to find out what they have next year?
By the way, I think you're going to hate me for this, but I think I'm going to, you hate me anyway, but I'm going to start Sterling Shepard in PPR over CeeDee Lamb.
Wow. I don't hate you for that.
Although I might have to start him over Juju Smith-Schuster instead. But you know what I say about wide receivers who get six targets against the Bengals. I think it's 14 of the last 15 have had good games. And Sterling Shepard's had six or more targets in every game he's played.
I would have thought that stat is just drilled into Heath's head because I gave him that stat on Name That Player yesterday with with Sterling Shepard, and I was waiting for him to get it on that clue alone because you say it so much.
I think he may not have had that in week two. He left with an injury, but it is
every healthy game he's played. You're right.
My favorite stat, the Bengals are that bad against wide receivers. Okay, next game, who are you confident in? Chargers and Bills. Everyone?
No.
Confident, the two quarterbacks, Stephon Diggs and Keenan Allen. And then confident, it's hard to say even Austin Eckler at this point if he's coming back from injury, but I think you're still starting him, and I do like Zach Moss.
You're not confident in hardly any tight ends, but you're starting Hunter Henry.
Oh, this is a great matchup. The Bills are one of the worst against tight ends as long as Matt Milano's not playing, which he isn't. And when he has played, he's been hurt. So they've been horrible. So, you know.
I'll give you two numbers for Hunter Henry. There's two you could fill in the blank. Here's the two. Seven targets, four catches. You fill in the rest, yards and touchdowns. But it's seven targets, four catches every week for Hunter Henry. And then whatever he does on top of that, it's probably about 40 yards.
35 and a touchdown.
Yeah, that's probably safe.
Well, there's so many tight ends in this category. Eric Ebron, Noah Fant, like they're going to get seven targets and catch three to four passes. Now, if they score a touchdown, we really like them. And if they don't score a touchdown, we don't like them.
What about Mike Williams,
three to
guys?
Four for Hunter Henry. It's exactly four.
I'm sorry. Is Mike Williams someone you're confident in?
No.
Not really. Confident, but hopeful.
Okay.
I think he sees Tre'Davious White. I think that's a problem for him. And so I think it's going to be a down game for Mike Williams.
All right, Cleveland and Jacksonville. Who are you confident in here?
Oh, we should go back. I would start Beasley over Mike Williams.
I would too.
If Brown is out.
Yes.
1,000% if Brown is out. Even if Brown is in, I would start Beasley and PPR over Williams.
Okay. I mean, Beasley's been pretty bad with John Brown. But all right,
well,
Jamie.
I think it's
Williams.
7 of 9 games with 11 or more PPR points, right?
Yeah, I guess. He scores some touchdowns. It's like 30 yards. It's lucky.
If you like Corey Davis, you like Cole Beasley. They're the same stats.
Really? Well, Beasley's had these. Beasley's had these huge like blow up games. But if Corey Davis versus Cole Beasley when John Brown plays, you think they're the same?
For this week, if John Brown plays, I would still take Cole Beasley in this matchup. The Chargers are terrible.
They're like ninth against wide receivers.
They're terrible.
They give up 30 points every game. Yeah, that's true. All right, Cleveland and Jacksonville.
The two Browns running backs. And have a good night.
James Robinson?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess you got to put him in that category.
All right, Browns are third best against running backs, but you're starting James Robinson. And I just want to tell you, this is the last game we're going to preview. So I'm going to tell you that Beckham has basically missed four straight games. He got hurt four games ago. Almost, I think it might have been the opening possession. Rashard Higgins has had more receiving yards than Jarvis Landry in three of those four games. Just think about that.
It's so unfair to judge them. It really is.
It is, but you know, but just so you know, you can do whatever you want with that stat. Rashard Higgins has been better than Landry three or four games. All right, here we go. Arizona at New England. Stat of the game, Jamie stole it. Patriots giving up 3 yards per carry to running backs in their last three games, but kind of easy competition except for Baltimore. Stat of the game number two, there's only been one team that has had multiple wide receivers basically have good games against the Patriots, and that was Seattle. Last week, two Houston wide receivers had 80, 85 yards. They didn't score. But it's a Christian Kirk question, basically. Because I don't get it. Like, the Patriots DST, you just said, or defense, rather, Heath, you said they're, like, worse than DVOA. And they've had some really bad games. They've also had some really good games. They gave up 20 points to Vegas, 26 points to the Chiefs, 24 to Buffalo, 17 to Baltimore. That's really good. They're 14th in points per game, yet they're 30th in yards per play. So do we expect the Cardinals to have a big game offensively, traveling to the East Coast? And do we expect Christian Kirk to be part of that? Heath, first word.
If Christian Kirk scores a touchdown, like, he's almost in that tight end category. He's better on yardage. But if he gets the big play, you know he's going to be in that 6 to 7 target range. I don't really want to start him, but I think he's a boom or bust number three flex type wide receiver. They're going to put Gilmore on DeAndre Hopkins. I'm just not sure how much that matters.
They have a very good second cornerback who plays opposite Stephon Gilmore that we don't talk enough about, and that's J.C. Jackson. He's having a great season, and I think he's going to make things very tough on Christian Kirk. And Kirk, the last 2 weeks, the 3 weeks prior to that, he was awesome. But the last 2 weeks, he's got 12 targets, 8 catches, 77 yards, and no touchdowns. And so I think Kirk is kind of becoming exactly what Heath said, or maybe he's already was that, was just a boomer bust wide receiver. And when he doesn't have a great matchup, which he thought he did last week against, at least I did, thought he did last week against Seattle, it's hard to trust him. And I think this is not a good matchup for him.
I don't know if you guys feel this way, but I think other than Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, who might get Stephon Gilmore, but you're not sitting him, I really feel like this entire game, Patriots-Cardinals, is nothing but tough decisions. Cam Newton, you guys have him borderline top 12. Damian Harris, he's played in 7 games. They've lost 5 of them, and in 3 of those 5 games, he's had like 11 or fewer carries. Something I have that stat.
He makes me very nervous.
Yeah, and then, you know, James White, you don't know what to expect. You don't know who's going to win. It's a 2.5-point spread. And then, you know, Kirk is always tricky. And then the running backs we already talked about, Edmonds and Drake. We talked about Drake anyway. So I don't know. To me, there's two guys that are obvious starts. And do you guys feel the same way? Everybody else is kind of a toss-up.
Yep.
100%.
So then who's the next best start after Kyler and Hopkins?
Probably Cam.
I think you go Harris, just based on the workload that you've seen the last 3 weeks for him. But, you know, again, you can say Drake is better than Harris. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, like Drake and Harris, I think, are low-end number twos. Cam's a low-end number one quarterback. Like, in terms of confidence level, I'm in the same range on all three of them.
Cam Newton or Stafford?
Cam.
You have to play Cam with the injuries that Stafford's dealing with from his receivers.
If Julio Jones plays, Cam Newton or Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan.
Ryan.
All right, Cam Newton or Derek Carr?
Carr.
Carr.
Okay. Like I said, he's inside the top 12.
I would start Cam, and I think I might be on an island, but I would start Cam over Taysom.
I have that decision to make, and I've gone back and forth on it, and I'm going to start Taysom, but they're the same guy. I mean, you know, it's just you're banking on the rushing production, and hopefully, you know, Cam gives that to you.
Yeah, mobile quarterbacks have been pretty solid against Arizona. Bridgewater, 32 and a touchdown. Russell Wilson, 84 yards. Tua, 35 yards. Allen, 38 yards. What's that?
The last four games.
Yeah, Wilson, 42 yards. So it's like 32 or more yards to 5 quarterbacks.
Only one touchdown, though.
God, I'm surprised that you have Cam in your top 12. Like, after 20 fantasy points at Houston, where he threw like 40 passes. I don't know. I'm just surprised.
The thing with Cam is that we haven't seen, which is, you know, maybe from a football sense makes some sense, is the passing and the rushing have not married each other yet. You know, you've seen some games where he's thrown the ball well lately. He has 274 yards or more in two of his last three. And then the games where he doesn't throw for over 200 yards, he's running the ball well. I would like to see him throw the ball like he did last week and find one touchdown on the ground, which I think he can. So he's in that borderline starting range. And like you said, you know, you brought up a couple guys, Adam. Matt Ryan, if he doesn't have Julio, is a disaster.
Yeah.
So I'd start Cam over him there. Stafford is a disaster without his guys there. So, you know, those are two borderline starters. And then the other one for me that I struggle with is Roethlisberger. And, you know, I don't think he's going to have a huge game against Baltimore, even if they're all beat up. So that's where I kind of come out on Cam with some comparisons.
Kind of feel like it's not a great week for quarterbacks, even though there are no buys. Okay. So let's talk about, just real quick, in full PPR. Well, how about this? Gus Edwards or Damian Harris? Gus Edwards or Damian Harris?
Gus.
Yeah, Gus. Yeah, because we'll know by Sunday for sure.
Now in PPR, Kenyon Drake, Damian Harris, Chase Edmonds, Jacoby Myers, Christian Kirk. Okay, five players that might be started this week. Three running backs.
Don't put James White in there.
Oh, I'm sorry. James White. Four running backs, two wide receivers. Like, give me your top three flexes.
I struggle with Damian Harris in this one because I think he could score on the ground. You know, we've seen the Cardinals give up some rushing touchdowns lately, certainly in the two games against Seattle. So I still put Harris first, but I hate it.
I would go Drake, Harris, Edmonds is my top three from that group.
All of them in PPR ahead of Kirk and Myers and White.
Yes. Yes.
I would put Kirk ahead of probably ahead of those guys in PPR just because he's probably still going to get four or five catches. And if he does anything on top of that, it's probably a little bit safer.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, most of the good wide receivers have done pretty well, I guess I'd say, against New England. It's kind of hard to say, I guess.
Gilmore missed a lot of time though, too. So keep that in mind.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Then, let's move on to our next game. New Orleans at Denver. Taysom Hill. All right. First of all, there's this stat. This is like my favorite stat of the week. I don't really believe it, but I think it's a fun one. If you get seven targets against the Saints, you're probably going to do really well. There have only been 10 wide receivers with seven or more targets. There have only been four wide receivers with more than eight targets against the Saints. But you look at the 10 wide receivers who had seven or more targets, nine of them have had 73 yards or a touchdown. And all 10 of them have scored at least 12 PPR fantasy points. It's not a great game, but it's a really good floor. Why do I bring this up? Well, Jerry Jeudy has eight targets or more in four straight games. Tim Patrick has seven or more in four of his last six games. KJ Hamler had 10 targets in two of his last three games. So you have this high volume passing offense and a bunch of targets going to these wide receivers. And that usually means success against the Saints, but the defense is getting so much better for the Saints. So are there any Broncos that you want to start in this game?
No.
There's none that I want to start with confidence. No, there's some that I'll end up having to start, but I think what we're going to see happen most likely is there will be some fourth quarter garbage time and somebody's going to catch a touchdown pass. Maybe two guys catch a touchdown pass in the fourth quarter. It's kind of hard to guess who that's going to be, but the Saints are kind of like the Patriots in that they had this stretch of the season where they were awful defensively and they've been really, really good lately. But I think there will be some points scored late.
What about Noah Fant? Heath, you're the highest on Noah Fant, and he does have the fifth most catches among tight ends, so keep that in mind. What about
Fant? Yeah, I'm probably starting Noah Fant. I'm not going to drop him for a streamer. There's not anybody available that I'd start over him.
Noah, thank you.
What about the guys today in the Washington game?
I would prefer Noah Fant.
I'd take all those guys over Noah Fant, including Jordan Akins.
Wow. What about Evan Ingram or Noah Fant?
I would start Noah Fant.
That's easy. Evan Ingram.
Yeah. Okay. We're pretty different on that. So if we look at, by the way, if you had to pick one Broncos wide receiver, who would it be?
Patrick.
Yeah, I think it'd be Patrick, but none of them are my top 40.
Okay. Emmanuel Sanders, any interest in him?
No.
He had a touchdown called back due to a penalty last week, but it should not have even been a touchdown because it was an underthrown deep shot by Taysom Hill that he should have thrown probably 3 or 4 seconds sooner. That's probably not fair. 2 or 3 seconds sooner. And Sanders was open, but it was called back due to penalty. I mean, he's been 5 targets or less in the last 3 games with Michael Thomas healthy.
Yeah, I think it's every game with Thomas healthy, right?
Sure.
5-5-1-5 in 4 games with Thomas. Okay, so then that we already talked. What's that?
2 touchdowns in those 4.
Yeah. Let's talk about the, we talked about Michael Thomas. Alvin Kamara's top 5. I know we have a little concern about his work in the passing game, but you're starting him. And then this whole discussion is about Taysom Hill. So let's just discuss him. Jared Cook, though, real quick. Starters at Jared Cook?
No.
No. Okay. Noah, thank you.
Fanta, Jamie, would you start Fanta over Cook?
I would, reluctantly, okay. Yes.
So Taysom Hill, he's around 12th. He's right in the Cam Newton range. Denver's actually 3rd in the NFL in pressure rate. Thought that was interesting, but Atlanta's 9th, and Hill did well against them. Denver is 16th against quarterbacks, but they allow the 3rd fewest passing yards per attempt in the NFL. And every quarterback who has scored 22 or more points against the Broncos has thrown 35 or more passes. That's probably not going to happen with Taysom Hill. So, Heath, give me your expectation for Hill.
I'm really uncertain more than anything else. I actually bumped him up in the rankings a little bit from where I projected him. I think he was 16 in the projections. We've seen him pass like the beginner's test for fantasy production. Now we're going to see him at more of an intermediate test against the Broncos. I don't think the Broncos defense is good, but they are much closer to average than the Falcons are. So he's going to have to rush for 50 yards, which I think he probably will. You're not going to get 2 rushing touchdowns, but you might get 1. And then it's kind of like the same thing with Cam. Can he put enough passing production with that 50 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown to be a starter?
Jamie, are you starting Taysom Hill over Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
Over Roethlisberger?
Yes.
Over Cam?
Yes.
Over Russell Wilson?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So if Julio Jones plays, Taysom Hill or Matt Ryan?
Ryan.
Ryan is probably better, but you have to fear, like we saw last week, is Julio make it through the game? I mean, he's night and day without Julio on the field. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Okay. And that's pretty much our Taysom Hill discussion. I'll tell you what, it's just like, let's lay out quarterback real quick here, right? Your rankings.
There are 9 guys we really all want to start.
And they are who?
They are Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert, Tom Brady, and Derek Carr.
And then after that, it's Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton, Taysom Hill, Matt Ryan, that group.
Yeah.
And Roethlisberger might be in there okay. So, and then you've got your streamers, your Daniel Jones, Phillip Rivers, Teddy Bridgewater group. Tannehill is going to be a little bit of a debate. We're going to take a quick break here on Fantasy Football Today. Start the Saints defense. When we come back, we will finish up with the last 5 games of the AFC home slate. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Well, the third game we're going to talk about in this slate is, of course, Miami at the Jets. Okay, you're not starting Tua. What about the Dolphins running backs? Jamie, break the Dolphins running backs down for us right now.
Savon Ahmed is a starter if there's no Myles Gaskin. If there is Myles Gaskin, then it's probably something that could be frustrating because both guys, I'm sure, will get touches. To what degree, I'm not sure. But if there's no Savon Ahmed and there is only Myles Gaskin, then he's a starter. So you just got to play it out and see what happens. But you'd like to have one guy and only one of those guys and then see what happens coming after this game. But they're starting to use Malcolm Perry a little bit more. It's so funny. Like, they just don't like Matt Breida, and clearly they didn't like Jordan Howard. So everybody not named those guys has a chance to get touches.
Yeah, so if there's just one of them, if it's Ahmed or Gaskin, would you start them over Damian Harris, Kenyon Drake?
Yes.
Yeah? Heath?
Yeah.
If there's just one of them, yeah, for sure.
All right, Devontae Parker is in the 20s. He's 20th for around there for Jamie and Heath, a little bit lower for Dave.
Have you seen what the Jets have allowed the last 4 weeks?
96 yards or more to 5 wide receivers in their last 4 games.
It's staggering, these numbers. Against Buffalo, Kansas City, New England, and the Chargers. 78 catches, 972 yards, and 6 touchdowns on 104 targets.
Yeah, but also it's Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, who else was it? And Justin Herbert.
And Herbert.
Yeah, Cam Newton was bad. Right. The Jets have been really bad. They faced some of the very, very best quarterbacks. They faced Josh Allen twice, Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Fitzpatrick. Okay, so Gesicki, any interest in him? Heath got him 12th.
Yeah, we got 3 straight games with 40 yards. That's
good.
Awesome. And the Jets pass defense is terrible, and he's more of a wide receiver than he is a tight end.
Noah, thank you.
We got to start some tight ends.
Yeah. Schultz, Thomas, Akins, all better.
Okay. Sit Sam Darnold. And we discussed Frank Gore. He is outside the top 30. I mean, I really think he's going to get a ton of carries.
I really think that Ty Johnson and or Josh Adams are probably going to get 10 carries.
You think so?
Yeah.
Gore,
they can't run. You can't give, like, it's elder abuse. You can't give him 20 carries against this defense. It's rude.
Christian Wilkins is back, so that's big for the Dolphins. A big defensive tackle. He's back. All right. Nobody really wants to start Frank Gore.
Start the Dolphins DST.
The Jets wide receivers, though, are really interesting. Crowder, last 2 games, he has combined 3 catches, 42 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, get Joe Flacco out of there.
Yeah, it seems like Darnold's a better fit for Crowder. But also, this is what Crowder does, and I fell for it. I fell for it with Jamison Crowder, even though I knew it. I said it over and over. He's the most inconsistent roller coaster ride wide receiver.
But it's the quarterbacks, though.
Is it, though?
Yes.
Okay, so are you right back to him? Do you think he's going to get 10 or more targets again? Because remember, earlier in the season, Mims was out, Perryman was hurt. You know, there's that factor too.
He had 3 straight games before this 2-game disaster, plus some injuries, with 10 or more targets. One of them was against Miami. He had 7 catches for, I think, 48 yards in that game. This is a good secondary. Crowder's not a must start by any stretch, especially with Wilkins there, you know, putting pressure up the middle. He's not just a good run stopper. I think he's a number 3 receiver. I wouldn't overvalue him in that regard in PPR as well, but he's got an opportunity to at least help you if Darnold plays, and that's the way that it's trending, is that Darnold's going to play.
Okay, would you start Jamison Crowder? First of all, is he your favorite Jets wide receiver?
He is.
Yes.
Would you start him over Juju Smith-Schuster?
No.
No.
How about Cole Beasley or Crowder?
No.
I would go Crowder.
Jamie, what'd you say?
Beasley.
Beasley, Crowder. He's a little higher on Crowder. He's got him 25th in PPR. Jamie, actually, I don't know where Jamie has him.
35, 36-ish.
Okay. All right. So that's the Jets. We're not starting Perryman or Mims, I assume?
No.
No.
Especially not. I mean, I would consider them as decent, like, boom bust flex options if Flacco was starting. But with Darnold starting, I'm not starting either of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't start them even if Flacco plays.
Dolphins DST is top 3. Start them. Tennessee at Indianapolis, a rematch. We saw this game just a few weeks ago. Colts won it 34-17. Which quarterback do you like better in this game?
Rivers.
I'll take Tannehill.
So Heath, last week you were rewarded with your faith in Ryan Tannehill, but this is another really tough matchup. I think the Colts allow the second or third fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. And last week against the Ravens, this was the first game he's had against the top 10 defense against quarterbacks in the last two seasons that he's had a good game, I think, you know. So where do you have him ranked? And is it just like kind of start?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's not a top 12 quarterback for me. But neither is Phillip Rivers. They're both number two quarterbacks in the teens. I would start Taysom Hill over them. I would start Cam Newton over them. I would start Lamar Jackson over them. So.
Okay.
Here's the thing for Tannehill that may work out in his favor, and it worked out last week. The Ravens were obviously not healthy. And so he took advantage of that. No Calais Campbell, no Brandon Williams. He played well without those guys there. DeForest Buckner sounds like he's not going to play. And so that's a plus for Tannehill. It's obviously a plus for Derrick Henry, but it's a plus for Tannehill as well. So I guess have been probably the most anti-Tannehill with his offensive line. By the way, he just lost another lineman. The replacement left tackle is now out. So factor that in as well. But Tannehill is going to potentially be one of these guys that kind of lucks into facing a defense that's down a key member, and it may benefit him. But you said this time and time again, Adam, that his road home splits, he's now made 20 starts, 10 last year, 10 this year, and his road home splits aren't the same as well.
Oh, it's not even close. And they're also, Danico Autry is also on the reserve COVID list, and he, I don't think he's a starter for the Colts, but
I don't believe so.
I'm not quite sure how much he plays, but it's depth on the defensive line. Okay, so Derrick Henry, we're starting. Any hesitation at all with A.J. Brown? This was his only bad game since he came back from the injury.
Start him.
Okay. What about Corey Davis? In all but one game, he's had a floor of 11 PPR fantasy points. Corey Davis, start or sit?
Has he had 11 in every game?
No.
No, he had the Chicago game where he had zero.
No catches. Right.
Oh.
So that's 7 of 8 games.
It's almost like he didn't play. There's no evidence that he actually played. So
3 targets to somebody that kind of resembles Corey Davis. We're not sure if it was him. Yeah, and this is, again, a tough matchup. 7th fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. So Corey Davis, start or sit?
I mean, I would prefer to sit him, but, you know, you kind of know what you're getting from him. He's a better PPR than non-PPR option, but, you know, 11 is a safe number for him. It's probably the floor and the ceiling.
Yeah, and, like, the 11's been only the floor the last 4-5 games that he's played. I guess the zero is the floor if you count the Bears game, but he's also got a 16, a 26, and a 15 in that stretch as well. So I'm starting him.
He's having a very good year. Corey Davis or Christian Kirk?
Davis and PPR, Kirk and none.
I'm starting Davis.
Davis or Crowder?
Davis.
Davis. Yeah, sure.
Davis or Pittman?
I'll take Pittman's upside.
I'll go with Davis.
Okay, and then here's your stat of the game for Tennessee and Indianapolis. A running back has scored 10 or more non-PPR fantasy points, 13 or more PPR fantasy points in all but one game against Tennessee. The only exception was David Montgomery, and in that game, Ryan Nall actually scored a touchdown, a receiving touchdown. But yeah, last time it was Nyheim Hines. Titans give up a ton of production to running backs. How do we feel about Jonathan Taylor this week?
Start him.
I think you got to go
back
to him.
What did you say? Why are you whispering?
I said start him.
So softly and delicately says start.
I think you got to go back. I mean, that's how people feel, though. You can't. It's not like start him. It's Jonathan Taylor. It's the Colts. We're now in the cycle, so it's now Jordan Wilkins' turn.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of the unfortunate thing is that we're going to see the carousel spin and stops on his name. I still think Jonathan Taylor, if fantasy managers, he had his best game. If you watch the game, he looked his best. If you see the numbers, it's one of his best games. His home road splits, 13.6 PPR games at home, 9.6 PPR points per game on the road. He's better in his own building. So take that into account too. So I think this is a game where you trust him. He's a number 2 running back. Would not be surprised if he has a blow up game if he scores, because what he showed you last week was pretty impressive.
So would you start the wide receivers not named A.J. Brown in this game over Jonathan Taylor in PPR in any format?
It would go Brown, then Taylor for me.
Full PPR. Yeah, I think I'd still go Taylor over Davis.
Would you start Nelson Agholor over Jonathan Taylor?
No.
Why? I mean, no, you're going to start unless... Derek Carr, or you're not going to start Nelson Agholor?
Hey, Darren Waller, I'm going to start.
He can't do it all, Heath.
Yeah, I don't think... Has Carr had a blow-up game without Agholor doing something?
I was just thinking that, and that will be something I definitely look up for next week.
Yeah, I'm going to guess probably not.
Maybe earlier in the season, but no, I mean, I think there's probably a very strong correlation. All right, I can feel a stat of the day coming on over there.
I get credit for it.
Yeah. What about Jonnu Smith, guys? Start or sit?
Better than Noah, thank you. Borderlines. I mean, he ran for a touchdown last week. This team's really good against tight ends. I know they gave up a touchdown to Tonyan last week, but they're still really good in that regard.
Derek Carr did throw for 282 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Saints, and Nelson Agholor had 1 catch for 19 yards.
That was week 2?
That was week 2. Yeah.
That was the Waller game, right?
That was the Waller game.
Big time. Yeah, and I mean, he was 260 and 2 against the Patriots, and Agholor didn't do anything.
Okay. So Colts DST is 9th, 10th, 15th for Jamie Dave Heath. Jonnu Smith or, let's see, Jonnu Smith or Eric Ebron?
Ebron.
Yeah, I think I have Ebron higher.
Jonnu or, let's say Zach Ertz plays, Jonnu or an Eagles tight end?
Ertz over Jonnu.
Yeah.
Okay. And then let's go to the Giants and the Bengals. Hey, Heath, did you know that 14 of the last 15 wide receivers with 6 or more targets against the Bengals have had either 84 yards or a touchdown? Except for Jarvis Landry.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you did. Here's the problem, though. A little concerned about this. Daniel Jones' pass attempts in 3 wins, 19, 34, and 28. He doesn't throw a lot anyway. But, yeah, I mean, I still think Shepard gets his 6 targets.
He's averaging like 180 yards passing a game or something, right?
Right. I mean, and he's got 8 touchdowns, 8 passing touchdowns, something like that.
He's third most rushing
yards among quarterbacks.
Right.
Yeah. That's the problem. Like, I'm pretty low on the Giants wide receivers and Evan Ingram just because, like, when you're chopping up the pie – and the pie is like one of those little miniature pies that you buy for $1.99 at the gas station. If somebody doesn't get the whole pie, then nobody gets very much.
Pie sucks, by the way. But I went to buy a pie yesterday, and they were sold out, and I was so happy about it. So anyway, how do you feel about Slayton and Shepard, Jamie? Because Heath's not really a fan.
They're number 3 receivers. Shepard's better than Slayton in PPR. I would take Slayton over Shepard in non-PPR for the touchdown potential because Shepard only has scored once this season. Not that Slayton's found the end zone regularly, but I think this is a game where I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants can kind of do whatever they want to offensively. So, you know, that's not something you say very much about that team. But the Bengals aren't good. The Giants are coming off a bye. You know, it's you got to assume that the Bengals are kind of like a little shell-shocked after losing Burrow and, you know, knowing that they went from a team that had a minimal shot of winning each week to a team that probably has no shot of winning each week. And it's Thanksgiving weekend. They know the end is near. Giants are playing for something. I'll buy into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good setup. It's a really good matchup for the Giants, but they're basically, I would say I think they're the second worst offense in football. I think the Jets are the only one that's worse.
But they're playing better of late. The offensive line has certainly turned the corner the last month. Yeah. And, you know, the nice thing about Jones is you're getting the rushing numbers. I mean, he's got at least 64 yards on the ground in 3 of his last 5 games. And so, you know, if you're getting 30 yards rushing, which I think is probably a safe number for him with the design runs, if he scores on top of that, that's fine. He just needs to get you, you know, in the neighborhood of 200 yards passing and a touchdown to be around 20 fantasy points. And he's been 20 or more fantasy points in 3 of his last 4. So,
yeah,
it's he's in that, you know, Tannehill, Rivers, Stafford, Ryan group, Lamar Jackson group.
So who's your favorite? Like, how do you rank the kind of low end, the guys who are not top 12, but are borderline top 15? You know, who's the best of that bunch?
Lamar Jackson still. I'd still take the upside of what he can be. But like, I like Daniel Jones better than Stafford. I just think that there's more upside with him in his matchup than there is with Stafford without the guys that he has around him.
Jones, Tannehill, Rivers.
Jones, Rivers, Tannehill for me.
Heath?
Yeah, I have almost everybody ranked ahead of Daniel Jones. Tannehill, Rivers, Jones.
Wayne Gallman. We did a rankings debate earlier in the show if you want to hear about Wayne Gallman. Look, he's been really bad per carry.
I've not played the sound once.
He's been really... Oh, it's been really scary at yards per carry, but this is a much, much better matchup. He's faced the Eagles twice. They're great against the run. The Bucks, they're obviously great against the run. And Washington, good against the run.
Why Bengals, are the Eagles good against the run?
Okay, thanks for that trap, Jamie. We talked about the Giants wide receivers. Let's talk about the Bengals. We talked about the running backs earlier, but the wide receivers. Who's the best wide receiver in this game, Bengals and Giants?
I'll still say Tyler Boyd.
Yeah. So, excuse me. Boyd. All right. Boyd is what a number, like Boyd or Crowder?
Boyd.
Crowder for me.
Boyd or Jonathan Taylor, PPR?
Taylor.
Not starting T. Higgins?
No.
All right. Let's wait and see there. And then I didn't ask you about Evan Ingram. Jamie likes Evan Ingram. Heath, not so much. Okay. Heath hates the Giants. We all know that.
I really do hate the Giants with every fiber of my being.
But the Giants DST you like.
And I didn't used to hate the Giants. I don't know what changed the last couple of years.
Just some got to be some X factor. Chargers at Bills. Did I give this stat? Yeah, I don't think so. Stat of the game. A running back has scored 11 or more non-PPR fantasy points, 13 or more PPR fantasy points in 8 straight games against the Chargers. Those running backs are Mike Davis, Ronald Jones, Kamara, James Robinson, Phillip Lindsay, Devontae Booker, Josh Jacobs, Savon Ahmed, and Frank Gore. You don't have to be a very good running back to do well against the Chargers.
Good thing.
So let's Zach Moss. Yeah, Heath, like, are you feeling it with Zach Moss?
I am not, but that was a compelling case. They just don't seem to have any interest in establishing the run at all. And I respect that. I like the way they're playing, and it's awesome for Josh Allen. It's awesome for Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley and John Brown when he plays. But like, we've got one game all season where Zach Moss has more than 50 rushing yards, 2 games where he has more than 50 total yards. He doesn't get double digit carries. He's only done that once all season. It's nothing against Zach Moss, although he hasn't like done anything to earn more carries either. That's just not what the Bills do. I don't want to start any Bills running backs.
He's scoring this week.
Who would you start him over, Jamie?
Kenyon Drake. In non-PPR.
Would you consider starting Zach Moss over Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
No. But I start him over Melvin Gordon. I would start him over Ronald Jones. I would start him over Leonard Fournette. The Rams guys.
Frank Gore?
Yes.
How about Kalen Ballage? Let's say Eckler does not play. Ballage or Moss?
Ballage.
I actually have Frank Gore projected higher than Zach Moss, but I moved Moss ahead of Gore in the rankings just because I don't want to start Frank Gore.
If Eckler does play, he's a must start, right?
He's a number 2 running back, better in PPR, obviously, than non-PPR. You just have to trust that, you know, they're putting him out there that they feel he's going to be Austin Eckler. But at the same time, we've seen this time and time again. There's always a little bit of a lull for a guy coming off an extensive injury with a lower leg problem. And so, you know, does he get his full workload? Does he have the same explosiveness? Does he get tired? You know, so you just have to, you know, sort of judge it like who you're comparing him to.
Let's do these comparisons just for fun. Justin Herbert or Josh Allen?
Allen.
Josh Allen.
Stephon Diggs or Keenan Allen?
Keenan Allen.
What, like, what universe
just,
are we
just
in
for
right
fun
now?
Just for fun.
Keenan Allen.
It's maybe
way,
it's
Hopkins
a
Falcons had 2 non-coaching members of the organization test positive for COVID-19.
Falcons so
virtually today.
Okay. And Cole Beasley or Mike Williams?
Williams in non-PPR, but Beasley in PPR, especially with John Brown out.
I'll go with Beasley both.
We're really getting away from Mike Williams. I mean, this guy has been freaking awesome, except for that one game at Miami. He has been so good in his last 4 games. And
tough defense in that game with good cornerbacks.
Well, I look, there have only been, in my estimation, there have only been three good wide receivers who have struggled against the Bills. Tyreek Hill had three targets. Tyler Lockett, 4 for 40. Christian Kirk, 4 for 27. I mean, this defense hasn't really been that good this year.
No, it has not. And they've dealt with, you know, many injuries. You know, obviously the secondary has been in and out. You know, Josh Norman, for what it's worth, has missed a lot of time. Obviously, you mentioned Matt Milano, what tight ends have done against them with him in and out of the lineup. But I think this is the type of corner that can make things tough on Mike Williams.
I view him a lot like I do Christian Kirk. Like, he could make you feel silly for benching him. He could have like 4 catches for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. But like, he's two of his last 5 games, he's got 38 and 4 yards.
38 yards. I don't recall that.
He had 38 against the Dolphins and 4 against Jacksonville.
Okay. All right. So let's go to, I think that's it for this game then. Hunter Henry, must start guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, okay. That's it. Why did I just say Cordarrelle Patterson? Cleveland at Jacksonville. Cleveland, Jacksonville. Does that sound like Cordarrelle Patterson? Yeah. Great, great call there.
Were you going to say Cordarrelle Patterson or Zach Moss?
Yeah. What do you think about Kareem Hunt this week?
Must start guy.
You start him just like you do all the top 10 running backs.
Do you know that in 5 games with Nick Chubb, he on a per game basis is averaging 15.18 PPR points per game in decimal scoring? That would make him, for the season, that would make him RB14. How's that?
I'm starting RB14.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Are you worried at all about the Jaguars? Kind of a tough matchup?
No.
No.
Are you starting any wide receivers in this game?
I would prefer not to.
Yeah, I need to. I haven't adjusted Chark down, but I need to get him outside of my top 30. Chark would be my favorite still. I think Landry is a borderline number 3 as well.
Austin Hooper, starter sit.
Better than Noah, thank you, but don't want to trust him.
And James Robinson,
hey,
or Kareem Hunt?
If you want to give credit to Rashard Higgins leading the team in targets or catches, whatever you said, Austin Hooper led them in targets last week.
Cool.
He had 5.
They're not going to throw a lot, most likely. And you don't need to throw a lot against the Jaguars. Their pass defense is that bad. They are, I think, the worst defense in football. If not, I mean, it's certainly they're right there in the discussion. James
Their
Robinson
secondary was so beat up last week.
Or James Robinson or Kareem Hunt?
I'll take Kareem Hunt.
We are going to get a lot of Kareem Hunt questions. I always do. So we'll just finish off with this. Kareem Hunt or Michael Thomas?
I would start Hunt.
Yeah, you got to start Hunt there.
All right, then just start Hunt over almost everyone in the world. James Robinson.
You're really uncomfortable with Kareem Hunt.
I'm not going to say, I'm going to approach him as the way you guys are, as a start. But if he doesn't have a good game, I'm going to tell you why I'm not shocked on Sunday if it happens. But I am completely going to get over my fears and just consider him a must-start top 15 guy for sure.
I mean, who do you have on your team that you're starting over him, though?
I don't have him. Oh, no, we have him in one league. I would start DeAndre Swift over him if Swift played.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, but I can't think of like 3 running backs.
I'm glad you're saying that at 9:20 a.m. Eastern for a game that's going to start.
I was just thinking about the one league I have Kareem Hunt and who's on my bench right now.
That, you know, for the people that are listening to this afternoon.
No, he's a must start. He's a must start.
That's team that we share, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
This is your best call of the year, by the way.
We're starting Kareem Hunt.
Of course we're starting Kareem Hunt. Everybody should.
You're starting Hunt over Swift if Swift plays?
We start them both. We have enough spots. James Robinson or Tyler Boyd, PPR?
James Robinson.
Yeah, Robinson.
Should we just approach Robinson as if he's a stud, must start, forget about it?
No, take the if, like...
And no, they give up the third fewest fantasy points to running backs. I'm like, just asking.
This is a guy averaging 100 yards per game.
Let's go have Thanksgiving.
He's been fantastic. The one thing you got to worry about, though, is they're on their third string quarterback. I mean, you know, this is not a good passing attack that may not have DJ Chark as well. So I get where you come from, Adam. If, you know, if you're Cleveland, it's just put, you know, 12 guys in the box and say, we dare you to throw.
Yeah. All right, let's go have Thanksgiving, everybody. Eat up. We'll talk to you on Friday. Regular show, normal hours. Might be published a little bit later than usual. Then we'll have the mailbag on Saturday. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.